But there's one thing I want to speak to you that God really burned my heart tonight about. And if we'll go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 through 7. If you turn there in your Bibles with me tonight. And when you get there, let's just stand one more time, please, as we honor God by the reading of His precious holy word and inspired by the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Now Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are falling from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well." And here it is. "Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we sure do love you so much. And Lord, help us to realize that last year's a done deal. There's nothing we can do. And a new year means new opportunities, along with new challenges, Lord. Help us this year to do some heart searching, Lord. Help us this year to seek out and search those things we struggle with, and those sins in our life that are robbing us of our joy and God's greatest blessings. So, Lord, if there's anyone in our midst tonight that does not know the sweet Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I'll pray with everything in me that they will not leave this place tonight without taking advantage of the wonderful opportunity of letting Christ, the one and only true God, save them from their sin. And Lord, I pray for every Christian tonight. Lord, there are things in our day and in the church and our homes and families that are hindering us. God, please, number one, forgive us. Number two, may we confess it. And number three, may we repent of it. Love you, Lord. Thank you for saving us. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, I hope that you'll listen to me and that we can help you tonight. He's talking to folks here in verse 7 who have been hindered. People who ran for God, folks who one time on fire for the Lord, folks who at one time burn up the roads for God, used to teach Sunday school, used to sing in the choir, used to go soul winning. And now they just come and sit on Sunday morning and look at the pastor while he preaches. That's the group I want to preach to tonight. Now, maybe if you're here, I want to bring a message tonight, as I've already said. What has hindered you? What has hindered you? The Lord said, "Who hath hindered you that you could not obey the truth?" We know who it is that hinders us in this day and time. The context of Galatians 5, talking about getting back under the law to be justified and all that. But tonight I want to use this verse as a question to you. What is it in the Christian life that knocked you out of the race? What is it? Think about those folks who had zeal in serving God and now they're out of church. The truth is, he was zealous in the work of God, but he's hindered tonight. Something has hindered him. And also I want us to see, if we look at this and go through the Word of God tonight, what's happened to people today? They like to be around new converts, but not old converts. I don't know about you, preacher, but I never got over it. I never did. Folks, listen, you know, it's so sad to be around dried up old Christians, you know, that they're so discouraging, you know. And what is it, and why is it that we can't keep that zeal and that fire? In our town in Indian Orchard, I gave a tract to a gas attendant one time. I never will forget it. And he looked at it and he says, "How long you been doing this?" And I said, "Oh, about 58 years. He says, "Well, that's unusual." He said, "Most folks don't last that long." You know, I got to thinking that the world expects that of us, to go away, to quit, to fizzle out. Now, you can tell who the new converts in the church are. They get the bumper stickers on the car, and their pockets are full of tracks. And you've done gotten beyond all of that now, you see. And haven't we? And so, dear friend, tonight, as God speaks to our hearts, you know, you used to shout. Some of us need to crank up our shout. Say amen.
Amen.
Have that joy of the Lord in your soul. And now you have nothing. Nothing. Something has hindered you. Something has hindered you. Where there's a blessing. You used to say every Christian acts like a fool once in a while. Amen. Since I'm going to be a fool anyway, I might as well be one for Jesus. Amen. And something has hindered you. Hindered means to hold back, to get in the way of, to stop. Now, when you got saved, get ready to move for God. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and you start walking for God, and somebody forgets to tell you that there's an enemy. See, you know, we have an enemy tonight. And he's going to do all he can. He can't get your soul, so he's going to take and hinder you. The devil doesn't go after you before you're saved. You're already his. He goes after you after you're saved because he's lost you. If you run into the devil, that means you're both headed in the same direction. You see, I want to ask for two volunteers. A couple of you young boys come up here. Do a little illustration here. I'm not going to hurt you. Now. Come on, don't be shy. Now, you two guys are mad at one another, right? You're friends. All right, I'm going to be friends. All right, now you're going to be the devil, and this guy here is a Christian. Now, you're the Christian, and then you're the devil. Now, I want you to hinder him from going around you. And barking. Put your hands on him. Push him back, you know. Okay. Now, keep pushing. Fall down. We need to realize from the Word of God, the Bible says, after you get saved, then cometh the devil. Then cometh the devil. And what the devil's job is to hinder, to hold back, to get in the way, to stop us. So you see, dear friend, tonight, I want us to realize that the devil hindered him. Isn't that the way the Christian life is, my dear friends? A lot of times we get tired of fighting the devil, so Christians just give up fighting. It was this coach, I forget who it was. It was before Don Shula on the Miami Dolphins. But anyway, they were selecting quarterback for the team. And so different guys were trying out. And so, you know, the coach says, "Guys, is this the guy we want?" And he kept knocking him down. And then another guy kept knocking him down. And then he kept knocking him down, and then finally he kept getting back up. So they said, "Do we want this guy?" And all the guys say, "Yes, we want this guy." He keeps knocking him down. And the coach says, "No, we don't. We want the guy because he keeps getting back up." See, you know, don't let the devil hinder you. Don't let the devil stop you. You get knocked down, get back up, Christian. Say amen. You know, don't let him hinder you. So the first thing I want us to realize is, who is it that the devil is using tonight to hinder you. Now, why is it that sometimes you can sail through the Christian life and other times it's a fight? It's a fight. Sometimes you have to just get back up and put your head down and plow right through. No matter what, that's just the way it is. This modern day claim it, name it, grab it crowd who tells you that it's always going to be good and you never have any problems are out of their mind. Now, if you're walking the right way for Almighty God, you're going to get hit. And you're going to get hindered, so we might as well accept it. Now, let me ask you a couple of questions tonight. You know, you go to the doctor, and you ask him what's wrong with you, and you say, well, I'm not living right. He's a Christian doctor, and he's going to try to help you. The first thing he asks you is, does this hurt or does that hurt? Let's see if we can figure out what's your problem. Number two, were you hindered by the inconsistency of other Christians? Were you hindered by the inconsistency of other Christians? Maybe the pastor, maybe a deacon, maybe a Sunday school teacher, or somebody else here in the church. Your faith is not supposed to be in them, say amen. So you'd better get your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the one who died for you. He's the one who's coming back for you. He's the one that you're going to stand before someday, including that pastor or deacon or Sunday school teacher or that other brother and sister in the Lord. So folks, listen, we got to get our eyes off of one another and get them on Jesus. You know, folks say that they're surprised at all the preachers who are falling today. You ought to know better. You ought to know better. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Folks, listen, I've been stabbed in the back by my closest friends. It hurt. And it was discouraging. I got myself through it by getting down on my knees, by saying it was Jesus Christ who saved me that night that I got saved. And he's the one who will take me home one day. Christian, say amen. Amen. So no matter what everybody else is doing, I'm following Christ. We need to get our eyes on Jesus. That's the reason why you can shout and praise God a while back and a while ago. We need to fix our shouter tonight. It wasn't because you had so much confidence in one another. It wasn't because you were looking at the pastor. It was because you were looking far beyond the blue in the sky. Shout amen where you put your confidence. Our confidence is in him. Amen. You know, it's better to trust in the Lord than to trust in man. Now, you know, I know your pastor is a dear man, amen? I do, I love him. He knows that. But I still got to pick on him. No, but you know, hey folks, listen. There's going to come a time when he may upset you, or you'll be disappointed in him, or the church. My folks, listen, the reason why you do what you do, your motivation had better be because you love Jesus. Because those things happen, you see. And you say, well, Brother Randy, we've got to have confidence in one another. Paul said in Ephesians and Romans, I have confidence in you for the Lord. For the Lord. Now let me ask you a third question. Number three, were you hindered by persecution, misunderstanding, or opposition? Folks start out on fire for the Lord, and then something happens. You know, something happens. They get laughed at on the job. A lot of folks let the fears of yesterday rob them of today's joy. And maybe you went out soul winning and somebody slammed the door in your face. You know, I love it. I hear this a lot, you know. Well, you know, down south, it's so much easier. People just smile at you. I says, yeah, the only difference is they smile at you, then they slam the door. You know, come on. You know, it's easy to get hindered when you get persecuted, isn't it? Do you know what a hindrance is? When you're trying your best and somebody misunderstands you, somebody makes an ugly comment about you, about the flowers on the communion table, about your singing. You know, those flowers look like plastic. You know, come on, who put those there? You know, and oh my goodness, your singing sounds like a frog. You know, and your dress or that ugly tie, where'd you buy that at? Instead of feeling sorry for yourself, remember, you did it for Jesus Christ. You're not here for me. You're not here for the preacher. You're here for him. You see, folks, if this old preacher from Indian Orchard doesn't like it, tell him go jump in the lake, right? Say amen. Don't make me alone. Hey, you've done it for the glory of God. Now, don't let it hinder you. I tell you, folks, if you don't like my preaching tonight, it's too bad. I'm going to say, God, I've done my best. God, I've tried only to please you. That's all that matters. Listen, what is it? What is it that's hindered you? See, dear friend, some folks will say, I've messed up. Then get up and mess up again. Start over. Just get up and serve the Lord. Now, you probably made fun of my southern drawl. I've been saved by the glory of God. Let no man hinder you. Maybe somebody's having it rough tonight. Maybe it's you. See, dear Christian friend, tonight, let me ask you this question. Number four, were you hindered by some severe trial or time of sorrow? You see, a lot of folks do real good until tragedy hits their life. Preacher, you just don't know what I'm going through. No, but I do know that God's grace is sufficient. Now, some of you here tonight, the old devil is just beating you up. Where are the folks that used to be here? They were hindered. You say, well, Brother Randy, why does God allow stuff like that to happen? I really don't know. I know one thing, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving unto sin. See, we let the least little thing hinder us. Somebody says something that we don't like, and we're ready to hang it up. What's hindered you tonight? Let me give you the last two, and then we're done. Number five, were you hindered by the pearl of the world? Were you hindered by the pearl of the world? The minute that you get saved, the world puts a magnet on you and starts pulling you and tugging at you. You know, Mama was right. She used to tell me, Randy, honey, you know, the devil is faithful. He never quits. He never gets up. He's always on time. I said, my goodness, you find even something to say about the devil? See, you don't ever get over that until you get to heaven. Now, you know, when I was a young preacher almost 49 years ago, I mean, I thought old preachers had it made. I mean, my goodness, I didn't think anything tempted them. And you see, the older I get, I come to realize that the worse it gets with all of the sin around us, my goodness, I tell you, I never thought I would ever live to see the evil we see today. Folks, you know what? We can complain about the evil. We can say the devil. A lot of times the devil gets blamed for a lot of stuff. But you know, I don't know who actually wrote this quote. I remember years ago I was going to a meeting in New Hampshire. And I saw this bumper sticker that said, evil thrives when good people do nothing. Folks, listen, the evil has, I mean, if any of you have been saved a long time, I mean, I can go back to the 40s and the 50s, And folks, listen, we've come a long way. The evil, we thought it was bad then. Boy, my goodness, if Christians in the grave could see what it is today. I can't believe that another human being can do some of the evil they do to each other and to another person. Sometimes I think I'm on another planet. So you say, Lord, don't tell me that. I'm having enough trouble now as it is. The moment the devil works on you, he doesn't quit. He doesn't quit. It doesn't matter how old you are or how long you've been serving God. Folks, it doesn't matter. He never gives up. As I said, you know, I've been saved 58 years, and there's not a day that the devil doesn't try to fight me. You know, and I tell you, you're going to need God's grace. You're going to need God's strength in this battle. This is the spiritual battle. And, you know, and there's so much preaching done today of psychology and issues and all. Get back preaching the Bible. Preach the gospel. Preach Calvary. There's nothing that the gospel, there's nothing that Calvary can't solve. So you see, dear friend, the devil never quits. He keeps pulling on you. And you let something happen to you while somebody is saying things to you at church, and you'll stop serving God. I remember several years ago at our church, there was this guy. I mean, he hates my guts. He killed me. I mean it. Foaming at the mouth when I'm even nowhere near him. You know, sometimes you'll have to take a stand for God, and it's going to cost you something to do right. And I knew the stand I took was right and it honored God, but I also knew I was going to pay a price. And so it got so bad, I mean, he wouldn't even sit in the auditorium when I was preaching. He'd go out into the fellowship hall, just mean and bitter. And finally, I think I was down in Georgia. I could call the pastor. I said, Pastor, we got to talk. We got to get, the three of us has got to get together. I see, folks, this is the kind of stuff that hinders revival. This is the kind of stuff that stops God from doing a work in any church. This bitterness and anger and the jealousy. So anyway, before I went to that meeting, I prayed and asked God that he wouldn't see Randy Davis, but he would see Jesus. I wanted that more than anything. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you invite the Holy Spirit into a situation. And, you know, he, you know, flying off the handle and caught. I mean, I tell you what, I'm an ex-Marine, and I took from that man which I would have never took from no man. But see, that's nothing to brag about. That's Jesus. And you know what? He said that I need to go before the church and all this foolish stuff. Of course, Pastor said that's not going to happen. But my point is this. Dear friend, if he walked through that door right now, I'd give him a hug. Love on that man. And you say, well, how about all that he's done to you? Listen, folks, listen. I'm not forgiving him because I want him to be nice to me. I'm not forgiving him because I want peace between us. I want to forgive him so that he can be restored to proper fellowship with God, so that another brother can have dear relationship with another brother. It's for him, not for me. Isn't it wonderful when somebody makes a decision to forgive you and how God blesses that? Folks, if I didn't forgive him, and if I didn't do what God wanted me to do, guess what? I mean, I remember years ago when I was a pastor, there was two brothers. They couldn't stand each other's guts. And they hadn't talked in 7 years. Imagine that, 7 years. And, you know, and I told this guy, Eddie, I said, you know, Eddie, Jerry isn't losing no sleep. I mean, every waking hour, that's all he could talk about his brother, talk about his brother, talk about his brother. I said, he's got no problem sleeping. So anyway, to make a long story short, I got those two brothers together, and they restored their relationship and forgave each other. folks, listen, how many of us in our families haven't talked for years, or you know, the sad thing is we can't even spend any amount of time together except at Easter maybe, or maybe Christmas, or maybe Thanksgiving. Otherwise, we can't stand one another. Shame on us. What is it? What is it? What is it that's hindered you tonight from serving God and living for Him? Now, I want you to listen to me, and then I'm through tonight. Number six, were you hindered by some willful act of disobedience? Were you hindered by some willful act or disobedience? You don't have to be smart to be pastor of the same church for many years. That's not an insult. I was waiting for my line. And you know I'm going to pay later. I'm going to get it. You know, you don't know what I've seen some folks do. Now, I'm convinced that our churches have folks in them who have had a sin come into their life, who really messed up. They are just sitting in a pew like spiritual zombies and aren't worth a dime for God, because they can't get over it. I believe that. Folks, listen, it's time to get over it. Somebody say, it's time to get over it. It is. It's time to get over it. Now, I know some folks in that shape right now. You know, somebody got over sin after an altar, being at the altar one night, and cried and rejoiced and praise God, glory, hallelujah. He's over it. 2 years later, where is he? What happened to him? You see, because God forgave him that night at the altar, but Satan jumped right in there and on them and told them that you can't be used again. God's all through with you. You're all washed up. It's all over. You're not worthy to do anything for God. You know, a great thing about the Lord and about Scripture is that, you know, it's not just a few minutes and you're in the Bible and you can see all these people that failed. Aren't you glad that God is willing to use a failure as long as a failure is willing to be used by God? Aren't you glad that God doesn't quit on us? That every day's a new day with the Lord. Folks, listen, it's time you got over it. It's time you moved on. Don't let the devil talk you and hold you back. And they just can't ever get over that thing. God, as I said, will use a failure as long as a failure is willing to be used by God. Now, a lot of us call Hebrews chapter 11 the faith chapter. But I love to call it the grace chapter, because all you got to do is read through that chapter and see God's amazing grace with so many of the saints of the past. We've got a lot of folks in our churches that don't even know it. They don't even know it, my friend, tonight, that are sitting here in our pews. It may not be that sin. It may be something else. I'd rather be a struggling Christian in an imperfect church than a perfect sinner outside the church. Now, let me just say this in closing tonight. What is it? What is it that's hindered you tonight? I think some folks tonight need a fresh start. I didn't say get saved again. Thank God that's something that you're going to do one time, amen? Yeah. I say that thing that's hindered you, put it behind you. Put those hurt feelings behind you. I mean, rear back and take a good deep breath. Doesn't that feel good? And start all over for Jesus Christ. And spend the rest of your time for the glory of God. The devil cannot get your soul. Say amen. And all he's got to do is hinder you. Keep you from doing anything for God. You can't sit around crying until Jesus comes back about what happened last year or in your past. And it's not going to change. What was it? What was it that hindered you? Just get up and go on and serve God. Folks, listen. It's just like, if we're not careful, you know, so many folks today wear their feelings on their shoulders. And
burdens are lifted at Calvary. If you have not received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's important that you make a decision tonight. Because Brother Randy said you don't know if you've got tomorrow to do that. But more than that, oftentimes we are not only just hindered, we continue to be hindered in our spiritual growth because God's spoken to us about something that we need to do in our lives or something that we need to do concerning one another. And you're not going to move forward until you get that dealt with and taken care of. It's just the way it is in your relationship with the Lord. So as we turn in our hymnals to
315,
burdens are lifted at Calvary. This is the night to bring them here to the altar. We're going to have a very brief altar time. But before we go into the communion service, we're commanded to examine ourselves and to eat accordingly or to drink accordingly. And if there's something in your heart that you have not dealt with and God is not pleased with or God knows that you need to deal with it, tonight would be the night to do that. If God has brought it to our attention, that is probably something we need to do. So the altar will be open. You can come to the altar tonight and I'll pray with you. Wives will pray with any of the ladies. But tonight, if God's spoken to you, you just step right out on that first stanza. Burdens are lifted. Bring them to Calvary. Bring them to the altar. Leave them with the Lord there tonight. Would you come tonight if God's spoken to your heart? Something that's been weighing heavily. Something that's been a real burden. You want to have that peace. You want to be able to walk out of here tonight with that peace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't even know for sure if you got a home in heaven. Well, you don't have peace with God until you come to the altar tonight and make that peace right here.
Calvary, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is buried.
Would you come tonight? God spoken to you on that second stanza. Would you come tonight? You're not sure about your eternal destiny? Why would you postpone it? Why would you put it off? Today is the most convenient time that you're going to have tonight. God's spoken to your heart. God's not going to plead and beg forever. God wants you tonight. Would you come? On that third stanza, if nobody comes, we're going to close tonight. God's still encouraging, whether to salvation, to rededication, would you come?
Jesus is very near.
Amen. Invitation never ends here. This is just the beginning. Tonight, before you leave this building, if there's something you need to talk to, ladies, to another one, my wife is more than willing to talk to some other ladies here. Be glad to sit down and talk with you. And guys, if it's the same thing with you. But you may be seated as we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm not going to preach another message, but I'm going to share what the Word of God has to say about communion. Communion is for those who are part of the family of God. You're only a part of the family of God if you have received Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. That's the first requirement that God places. We must be saved. The second thing is that if we are saved, we need to be right with the Lord. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." A time we come together to soberly place our hearts before the Lord. Lord, you examine us. Lord, you challenge us. Lord, we're going to bring it to your throne of grace for forgiveness and change. But he goes on and he says, "For he that eateth and drinketh